Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Holy Creator, reveal yourself to us in the reading and proclamation of your Word. Give us ears to hear your voice, eyes that see you among us, and hearts that are willing to follow where you lead. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the 116th Psalm, verses 1 through 3 and 10 through 17. Now listen to God's word. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call in the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. Our second scripture reading is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. If you invoke as Father the one who judges impartially according to each person's work, live in fear during the time of your exile. You know that you are ransomed from the futile conduct inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your trust and hope are in God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual affection, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. And finally, our third scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 15, through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all those things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus from Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." "Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who are with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if they were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is so good to worship with you. I've been in this congregation a few times, not to preach, but to attend some of the symphonies and all the musical happenings in this congregation. So it's so beautiful to be here with you and to preach from this big pulpit. And I was here from early morning, so I'm just kind of running on coffee at this point. So today's passage, there is so much in there, especially from the gospel passage. But before we get in there, for the older folks in this congregation, do you remember the show America's Funniest Videos? Yeah, that was a great show. I would just love watching it and, you know, just roll over laughing and laughing at those funny videos. I don't know when it stopped airing, but you can catch them all on your cell phone now. So many funny videos on my feed, but it was interesting. I think my phone is now thinking I'm a little smarter because all week I got videos on the quantum physics. So if you want to know anything about quantum physics, you can come speak to me after church. That only happened this week, but all the other weeks, it just gives me funny videos. And I don't know if you've seen the funny video of a man with his baby on his back and pushing a stroller and walking and looking at his cell phone. And all of a sudden he stops, he looks in the stroller, can't find the baby. Panic arises. He's looking back and forward, looking everywhere, walking and trying to find out where he dropped his baby. And an old woman comes and taps him on the back and says, "Your baby's on your back." I don't know if you've seen it, but it comes on my feed a lot. And we know that happens a lot. You don't see what you're supposed to see. A more recent one is of an Asian girl sitting down. She gets her food, sits down to eat her food in front of a man. And she's eating and she even takes the man's food thinking it's her boyfriend. And then a man on the other table calls her name. And she doesn't have her glasses on, so she squints at the man in front of her, realizes he's a stranger, and then squints and looks at the other man and realizes she's on the wrong table. Embarrassing, she gets up and goes and sits with her boyfriend. I think so many times we look and we see, and we don't really see what we're looking at. I don't know about you, but all day long, I'm usually looking for my phone. Anyone else here looking for your phone? Yeah. So many times I'm looking for my phone in the house as I'm carrying my phone in my hand, walking up and down, wondering where my phone is, asking the kids or whoever's home to call me, and it's just in my hand. Has that ever happened to you? I'm glad I'm not the only one. So many times we don't see. And in this passage today, in the gospel, there's two people walking on the road to Emmaus. One is named Cleopas and the other isn't named. And they are wandering and they're walking and they are in despair. Because Jesus had been arrested, had been beaten, and then had been crucified. And then suddenly a stranger walks with them. And the stranger asks, "What is wrong?" And the two respond, "Have you not heard what has happened? Are you the only one that has not heard what has happened to Jesus of Nazareth?" One was Cleopas and the other is unnamed. I have read this passage many, many times as a child, as a youth, and as an adult. I've even read it from a picture Bible. I don't know if anyone still has those picture Bibles. But it was always with two men. Some recent biblical scholarship has stated that perhaps Cleopas and the other person was a woman. We don't know who the other person was. But the possibility that the other person is a woman is pretty high. Because we know, not only in this passage, but many passages in the Bible, the woman is unnamed. The unnamed woman in so many instances. And later in the passage, it says the two people are inviting Jesus and says, "Come and eat with us in our place." So it is someone who is living together. Whoever this other person is, both of them are walking in despair, in hopelessness. Because of what has happened to Jesus, because they thought Jesus was going to come to save them and give them new life and get rid of the Roman Empire. But that is not what had happened. But that Jesus was crucified. They do not see Jesus as Jesus is walking with them. It is like you holding your phone, searching for your phone, wondering where your phone is, and all along, it's in your hand. I've actually had moments where I'm scrolling on my phone, watching videos, so engrossed, wondering where my phone is. I sincerely hope I'm not the only one who has done that. But Jesus was walking with them and they do not recognize Jesus. And they're sharing with Jesus what has happened to the Jesus of Nazareth. They go into the house together. And as Jesus is breaking bread, suddenly they recognize Jesus. It is in the everyday that you can see Jesus. And that is what happened in this passage. I think there are no Asians this morning, but whatever it is that you're breaking, rice or bread. I have been living in the U.S. for a long time and in Canada, and I cannot get used to bread. I think there's something wrong with my body because about the third day of eating bread, I get so much acid reflection. I don't know what it is, but I cannot eat bread for too long. I had three kids, I raised them here, and every time, especially my youngest, if I give him rice, he looks up to me and he complains and he says, Korean food again. So upset that I'm giving him rice. I have worked with the World Council of Churches for many years on climate justice. And one year we had a meeting in Germany. And you know, Germans love bread. I've been to Germany many times, and every time I go there, wherever I am, they're always serving me bread. The year that I took my youngest, he was about 8 years old, we stayed in this beautiful, beautiful retreat center. I think it was with the Lutheran Church. It was really beautiful. It felt like a resort for me. The rooms were huge, and the cafeteria where we ate was gigantic. So many types of bread. I've never seen that much bread, even at a grocery store, as I had in that retreat center. There was dark bread and light bread, raisin bread, nut bread, so many different types of bread, different sizes. And my son was so excited. He's like, "Mom, look at all the bread." We had bread for breakfast and lunch and dinner. After the third day, he turned to me and he said, "Mom, is there any rice?" I said, "He's a true Korean boy." Now he's searching for rice. And at the back of the cafeteria was a pot of rice. And we ate rice for the rest of the week. Whatever you're breaking, bread, crackers, pasta, rice, at that moment, they recognized Jesus. Jesus comes to us in the everyday as we're walking, as we're singing, as we're worshiping here, as we're praying, as we are breaking bread. Jesus comes to us. As Reverend Hall told the children, this Tuesday is Earth Day. It's a great day to celebrate the earth and to take care of the earth. And as we look outside, you know, the rain was pouring today. I don't know if it still is, but anyway, as we see the rain, as we see the trees, we know that God is with us. God is amongst us. When two or three are gathered, Jesus said, "I am with you." This passage today is reminding us that God is always with us. In our times of despair and in our times of hopelessness, which comes pretty often, doesn't it? It comes to me quite often. And as I think about this week, if you have listened to the news, you know, when I think about Presbyterian Church, that we may be a dying church, but then I come here, and this is pretty alive. If you come to the 8:45 worship, it's pretty alive there too, with the band. I think many people this week joined the Catholic Church for many reasons. But anyway, when we are gathered together, God is with us. In the gospel reading, Cleopas and the other person says, "Come and be with us, join us, come eat with us." This concept of us is very, very important. As you may have guessed, I am Korean. I'm Korean American. I grew up in Canada, and on Saturday mornings, If you grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know what Saturday mornings are. It's when all the cartoons are playing, right? We didn't have, is it DVR? I don't know what it is now, where you can record and watch later. We didn't have that in the 70s and 80s. So Saturday mornings is reserved for cartoons. But if you're Korean, Saturday morning is when your parents drag you to Korean language school. And I hated Korean language school. I said, you know, if I ever have kids, I would never do that to my kids. I would never drag them kicking and screaming to Korean language school. I don't know if you know the Korean Church of the Lehigh Valley here. It's a PCUSA church. Every Friday night, they have Korean language school. What did I do? I took my three kids kicking and screaming to Korean language school. They would hold on to the car door, and you have to peel off each finger. When you do one hand, they got the other hand, and there's three of us and two of us. It was hard taking them to Korean language school. But I'm a Korean-American theologian. And if you ever study theology, there's all these foreign words. It's because the German theologians introduced German words. And then the French theologians introduced French words. So as a Korean-American theologian, I feel like I need to introduce Korean words into theology. So I look back on my Saturday mornings where I missed all of the Roadrunner cartoons and everything else. Now I'm grateful because I can bring in Korean words into my writing and now into my preaching. So what are the Korean words which is so kind of important that we don't have in the English language is the word Uri. And I like to translate it as kind of ourness. Because in the Korean language, as in many parts of the different parts of the world, the community is way more important than the individual. So in the Korean language, we rarely use the personal pronoun I. We use the plural, uri. We don't use I. We use we, our, or ourness. So when I talk about my mom, I don't say my mom in Korea. We say our mom. We say uri. Even though you may be the only child. We don't talk about my church, the First Presbyterian Church of Allentown. We would say our church, Uri Church. Even though I'm married to one husband who's sitting back there, in Korea, we don't say, my husband, what do we say? Uri, yeah, someone back here said it. Even though you're married to one husband, we say our husband. Uri. Because that's how we speak and think and behave. It's communal. And in this passage, it's talking about uri. Come with us. Eat with us. Come to our place. This passage is reminding us that this church is an ourness. It's uri, it's our. And we need to continue to build this community up. We're not individuals, we are together. And you pray together, you eat together. Last time I came and when I did the adult forum, it was like a line, what is it called? A row of chairs. And today it was tables. So I told them, next time bring some food so we can eat together if we're sitting in a table. We Koreans love to eat. So if you ever want to try Korean food, just go to the Korean church of the Lehigh Valley. After church, you'll be eating Korean food. I always say, if there's going to be no food, just have a Zoom meeting. We Koreans love to eat. Community is coming together, eating together, praying together, singing together, dancing together. When two or more gather, Jesus said, I will be with you. Jesus walks with us in our times of sorrow and pain. I know we go through lots of pain and sorrow. That is what life is. We may lose our jobs, our health, our family members, our friends. We may lose loved ones. Life is difficult. But know that God is with us in our times of struggle. Perhaps you're struggling as a community. God is with us and walking with us. So many times when we're struggling, just as these two were walking, we don't see God. We don't recognize God in our life. We feel like God has abandoned us. We feel, why us? Why are we going through this? When I was going through seminary at Knox College up in Toronto, one of my classmates got breast cancer. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I was horrified. I said, oh my goodness, are you okay? Are you okay? And she seemed fine, she said. Her response to me is, why not me? I was taken aback when she said, why not me? I don't think the rest of us responds like that when we experience difficulties. But when we're going through hard times, just know God is with us. You may have watched the TV show, it's no longer on, called Ripley's Believe It or Not. I used to love that show. Now you're going to think I watch TV all the time, but back then there were only about 12 channels, so there wasn't much to watch. But Ripley's Believe It or Not was so fascinating. And when my oldest was born, he's 28, a friend of mine gave us this big, colorful book of Ripley's Believe It or Not. It had many images from that show. The premise of that show was you watch and then you believe, right? Because the show may begin with, how can this one man pull a truck with a chain or a string across his mouth, you know, yanking this truck? And you think, this man can't do it until the end of the show when he actually pulls it. It's quite fascinating. So you see and then you believe. I think for Christians, and what many of the passages in the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament is showing to us is not that you see and then you believe, but rather you believe and then you see. You believe that Christ is with us. And you can see Christ among us. Christ told us, when you do it to the least of them, you are doing it to me. That is why we have figures like Mother Teresa, who went to India, left everything behind, and went to India and served the poorest of the poor. I visited the Missionaries of Charity in Calcutta, where she is serving the poorest of the poor. She saw Christ in them. But you don't have to go all the way to India to serve the poor. They're right here in our neighborhoods, in our city, in our state, and in our country. God is telling us today that when we are suffering, God is with us. And that God is with us all the time. And that is why we need to go out and do God's work. That is our charge. Jesus revealed himself to Cleopas and to the other person. God reveals himself or herself to us, and we are going out into the world to reveal God to others. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your love for all of us in this church. May we serve you with all that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.